Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Well, Curtis, I have emotion. You know me. I'm a sensitive guy. I feel bad for Tristan. I watched the long docuseries, and he got to me. I started to like him, and there he goes.
Okay. There's no way you actually like Tristan Casas.
He came across likable in that series.
In what way?
He came across human. Troubled, but human.
But what was likable about it?
I think you could tell he's sincere in some ways.
Like I found him to be the least sincere person on the whole docuseries.
Some of it he admitted was an act, like to get a rise out of people, so that part was a little bit odd. But he cares about the game, like to see his background and what he went through. And he was not hitting well, but just to see him out there and he's down. He must be just, like, miserable, right? I mean, he and his camp turned down a contract extension last year from the team, was not the offer they wanted, and here he is. He's done for the year, and who knows if he'll ever play for the Red Sox again.
Yeah. This is an example, I think, an event that will lead to Alex Cora gaining more control in the front office of the Red Sox, because, just my opinion, I think Cora was done with him when he wouldn't come up from Worcester last year. They had an off season.
The stabbing in the ribs, and
right,
the multiple reports.
Just the whole aura, I can't describe. The interview didn't capture the feeling in the room when I was with Alex at JetBlue Park and made the wisecrack about Casas, setting the lineup. He's not worth it. He's not nearly good enough and has certainly not performed well enough to gain the kind of attitude that he currently exhibits. And I think the Red Sox will be better off in the long run without him.
And in the short run, they've got a decision to make. We had a hot poll question last night, middle of the game. Big win for the Red Sox, by the way. After that horrible loss, two back-to-back horrible losses to Toronto, and Cora staring down the drama of pitching to Vlad Guerrero inexplicably, which we'll get to here in a bit. But if Casas is out for a while, what should the plan be for the Red Sox at first base?
Baseball players are such pansies. Like, you're running to a base and you fall down like you're in Dallas in 63.
Hey, come on. That was a significant knee.
What are you talking about? Just hit the base with your foot like a normal human being.
Well, no, it was his left foot that clipped the
right. I'm
the
watching
player.
It right now.
Yeah, but it wasn't the foot that hit the base. It was a collision with the player.
Collision?
It was a collision. It was a violent collision. The knee, shakes back and forth. I mean, there's something going on there.
Okay.
That's significant. He's out for a while. Anyway, my three options in the poll. Devers, Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, or other, with a lot of submissions. 2,300 votes here in the last 11 hours or so. Want to guess what the favorite is?
I didn't even hear the poll question.
Who should play first with Casas out? Devers, Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, or other?
I have a podcast. Well, Casas comes back. Who's on first?
That's a great idea. One of your many for you.
Who's on first, by the way? My sister was friends with the bouncer there from when she was at BC. Always got into Who's. It was a great time every night.
Back when people were BC?
Who's on first at Fenway Park? You've never been there?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Boston College.
Well, I was at Boston College, but we'd go down to Fenway. And Who's on First, which, before John Henry bought every street, it was across the street from the park.
Right.
And great spot. Oh, great spot. Anyway, carry on.
I thought it was a chain. Anyway, who would you pick? Who do you think the public wants?
What's better, Whose or Splitsville?
Oh, Splitsville's great.
Yeah, I agree. I like Howl.
I met my wife there.
I'm a Howl in the Moon.
Mm-hmm. Devers is 37% leading the way. Rafi Devers. The public wants Rafi to play first, according to this poll. Great. Do you want Rafi Devers to take ground as a first? Why hasn't he taken ground
I want
as
Roman
first?
Anthony at first base.
Really?
Yep. I want, this is a year, your team is good enough. It would be actually an instant upgrade offensively. And who? It's first base. I played first base in Little League. It was that or right field. It's you just catch the ball.
Why not Devers?
Because I think that he's shown that he's not mentally up for all these yings and yangs. He's hitting now.
But this is a yin he wanted. He wanted to play.
He wanted to play third. He said he was a third baseman. He never said he wanted to play another position in the infield.
Yeah, but don't you think this is his path back? Like, he's in there pounding Cora's desk after the game last night saying, get me in the field. I want first base. This is going to be like a leadership moment for Rafi. He puts the crown on.
I will bet you.
He puts the Wally head on.
I will bet you $100. That he has not once asked Alex Cora to play first base.
You don't know what happened last night. All we got from Cora last night, very cryptic. He was asked, of course, about his conversation with Casas. Don't know, Jacob, you have any of that ready? And then we'll hear what he said about the first base situation. So here's a little bit of AC, who had a very long 2-minute answer about why he pitched to Vlad pregame. So a lot of Cora discussion lately, but here's the Casas conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks, to be honest with you. That's the part that you don't like about the job, right? When people get hurt and when you have to send people down, you know, it's pretty tough because, like I said before, they put so much effort and work in the offseason to try to play 162-plus, and then something like that happens, you know? And that's the reason we don't take it for granted, you know? You guys don't take it for granted either, you know? Showing up to work every day and be a big leaguer. And he loves being a big leader. He loves it. He loves to come to the ballpark at 10 in the morning and leave at midnight and do his thing, you know. And, you know, for now, I think it's going to be taken away. But like I said before, I told him he's going to be back at one point.
You have to feel bad for the guy. Like, what if you couldn't work for 3 months? You would miss the Gray Hill Show. You would miss not being in here pontificating.
Of course I would miss it. I mean, I had to miss it for a period. But
different show.
This
show. Well, okay.
I everything about this guy tells me he's not going to miss it. He wanted to stay in Worcester when the team was in a pennant race. He lied about an injury to stay in AAA. No, thank you. That's all I need to know about you. Have a good day.
All right. Here's Cora was asked about what's going on at first, and he didn't have, you know, much to say last night.
Seems like a very emotional conversation out there.
Yeah, because I mean, like, you put so much effort in the off season. I know how it works. You know, they're actually better than me, but I know how it works. And everything that he went through in the off season, getting ready for this, he was looking forward to have a big season for us. He didn't start it the way he wanted, but he kept grinding, kept working, and now this happened. You know, and we love this, we love the whole thing, but at the end, you know, we're human beings, and you suffer with them, and you know, it was tough to see him.
What do you think your plans are for first base?
We haven't even met after the game, so we'll talk about it.
Devers should be in there. Devers should take leadership, ownership, back in the field. I want Rafi back.
All right.
And then you put Massa in a DH or a Roman Anthony. You bring your guy up and put him at DH.
Yeah, I think that this is not as big a deal as people are making it out to be. He's been the worst hitter on the team.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a sneaky plus.
Well, I mean, whoever's there is going to hit better than 180.
Well, I know, but you had an asset that you could have at least traded if he had
right,
come
but that's,
around.
That's why Coral game. I guarantee you Cora wanted to trade Casas in the offseason, but Breslow did not. I would bet money on it.
Big picture, do you think they're good? Are they as good as we hyped them up to be? I am
sorry. Brutal week for Cora before that. I mean,
it was tough.
Awful with Giolito keeping him in. Awful allowing Slayton to pitch to Vlad Guerrero.
We were at Tap Sports Bar. You were talking to people. I'm talking to people. I look over the screen. I hadn't watched any of the game. I look over. It's the eighth inning. And he pitches to him with first base open. I watched one pitch. I watched it go out of the park. And I said to the guy next to me, why were they pitching to Vlad? It is just, it's bizarre.
And that was such a clear, I mean, it's literally the one person you don't let beat you. And Guerrero, after the game, said Cora does it all the time. He's one of the only guys in baseball that throws him in those spots.
Right. He was like mocking him.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. I honestly, Ken, I know, you know, we're going to get into Sox, but I think they're going to be a wild card team. I don't think this
impacts. So this won't cost them. This
nothing.
Week won't cost them.
This will
them
help
playoffs.
Them. We will look back and say, the Red Sox didn't get a better player when they traded Nomar. They got a better team. And I believe that they will have a better team in the absence of Tristan Casas.
You can join the program, the Kenny Curtis Show, on until 11 a.m. this morning, 617-779-7937. What should the Sox do with Casas out? There are so many different suggestions. It's actually interesting. And we had a story on the Globe today from your guy, Pete Aves, at talking about Devers, Anthony, and Meyer.
I actually went to Fenway thinking we were there, and I saw Pete Abe putting a vigil out front, which was really nice for Tristan.
Well, here's what Pete Abe says. He's like speaking down to the populace. A major league game is not the second game of American Legion doubleheader. An inexperienced first baseman would drag down the rest of the infield. Risking injury by using Roman Anthony or Marcelo Meyer in a position they've never played would be front office malpractice.
Have you ever seen Pete Abe in person?
Yes.
Imagine being that person and lecturing someone about athleticism.
Well, he's lecturing about malpractice.
I mean, Pete Abe, literally, you'd throw a ball at him and he'd pee himself.
He's seen a lot of ball. Guy travels on the road. Yeah. You got to survive on this beat. It is a tough grind. 162 across the country.
Right.
Avoiding the potential evils of road life.
Right. It's something that odd people are drawn to.
You know, like the road show. It's tough for you. You know, you get out there and you have to go to bars, which is unfortunate, but there's just temptations on the road.
Marriott points.
Marriott points that I take from you. You alleged to accuse me of taking from you.
Can we get to the real story of the week? There's two stories that you've totally.
I know you want to get into Bill.
No. I think the biggest story, it relates to Bill, but it's a different Bill. Chisholm.
Ooh, and the Shams thing.
Because
yeah, this is
the biggest story in Boston.
Yeah.
Because.
Well, the timing of the report, too.
It ties into the other bill in that whatever the punitive measures are that owners enacted in the new CBA with the second apron, which I feel like a moron, like we do this every day. I don't know anything about it. The NBA on purpose is so difficult to understand. The bird rights, all this random nonsense, mid-level
exception, yeah. Well, we brought Twitch Mitch's in today. He can break down the mid-level exception for you.
I got to tell you. Nobody perks me up like Mitch. I love that guy.
You were legitimately excited to see Mitch here this morning.
He's the man. He reminds me of me.
Well, he's multitasking. He's not going to be a
and I'm sorry
board
about
off
that.
Too.
Shams. What?
Not sustainable.
Whatever the measures are worth it. And we have had the privilege in the last 25 years of having dynastic runs in all of our sports. Or at least attempted dynastic runs. Championships, championship teams. And the New England Patriots are a case study in what not to do at the end. We all know that Red did it wrong as well, that you stuck with the big three too long. You didn't want to trade one of those guys.
Right, and you went the other way. Good
where
point.
Where you had that effect.
How good was the Celtic City docuseries?
I haven't watched it.
Really?
Because Greg will love it no matter what, so I'm just like,
oh,
I don't know.
Is so good. I don't know how you could do it better. I guess some people were bitching about not having Barkley talking, blah, 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 but it was good.
I will get through it this weekend. It has been excellent. It was very good, the five episodes I've watched. But with what the Patriots did at the end, you didn't hold on to Tom as long as possible. And you gave maybe not a championship, but you gave multiple playoff wins, multiple division crowns. You left them on the table.
And you let him win one, which affected the guys'
of course.
Legacies who left.
So here you are. You are the favorite to win back-to-back, something Larry Bird never did. And the leading voice of NBA news on the day that the ownership group is ratified tells you that the first order of business of this new administration is to take pieces off the title team. And no matter what he thinks about Wick, being the front-facing guy, because that remains, said it at the beginning, I've been proven right on this now, Wick is here to sell the ownership's plan to cut costs.
Yeah, well, he told you guys on the morning show, he said it here first in March, that was the first warning bell.
Right.
Wick on the Greg Hill show saying, we are not keeping this together, we can't.
Right.
The NBA has put
No team will spend two years in the second apron.
Jacob, see if you can find that sound from March on Greg Hill show.
So, here we are, and I don't know what I know the Celtics media is like, you know, it's like North Korea. Like, nobody dares question. People all want jobs, so they say, I mean, it's true. It's almost as bad as like the Trump cabinet meeting where everybody's going to wax poetic about how brilliant he is.
Don't you find as you get more and more into the business, though, that is like worse and worse by the year? Like every team control is just it. The state media is just all encompassing, all every
sport. What I don't understand, and I mean this sincerely, thinking on your own is the only way you're going to have a career of your own.
Yeah, not anymore. These people know if they step out of line, they won't have a career in that line of work.
Right, you
know?
But what's successful?
And there are fewer options here in this line of work.
What's successful on the radio?
Well, opinion.
Right. Yes. And, well, in opinion that's not sanctioned by organizations.
Right,
it's
but
opinion.
There's like five radio jobs, so it's tough.
Okay. So,
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying this is the reality as I see it. It's tough out there. But you're right to point it out.
But you know who suffers is the fan.
The fan suffers, yes.
Because as long as you don't hold people accountable,
right,
then they will do things like
totally.
This.
That's why we are very important, I find, and you are very important. So continue.
So the Celtics are foreshadowing this.
Yeah.
They're already softening the blow, which tells me we're not talking about Porzingis or Holiday. We're not talking about White. We're talking about Jaylen Brown. That's what they're preparing you for. And we know Wick and Tatum are close. The only player he called before firing Ime was Tatum. He told us on the Greg Hill Show in March. He said he spoke with Tatum and he said, as long as you're here, I'm good. Something to that effect. So I know they're going to do it. I expect them to win back-to-back, but no matter what, beginning your stewardship of this franchise by breaking up a championship run will make, even if you win one in 7 years, your life will be miserable.
Well, I know, but so they have to know that. So I am led down a conspiracy path that they're like floating. Do you have a conspiracy on this? Why this is coming out now with Shams? Why is he saying this?
Because it was the day they ratified the sale. It was the day it was official.
Okay, so then... But is it a floater to, like, test the populace? Is it...
This is something, as you said in March, Wick said. I think the reason this ownership group came out of nowhere, and I said it and Greg was like, Kurtspiracy, whatever, maybe it is, but owners wanted... This Celtics team is too good. I mean, they are. The last year they lost, what, 3 playoff games en route to a championship?
Yeah.
Right now they went through the Magic in 5. They're going to beat the Knicks in 5 or fewer. Do you see the Knicks putting up a fight?
I see the Knicks going to take it to the 6.
Okay, but...
Mikal Bridges, I like the way he's developed. Physical force.
It is not coincidental. Very few things are coincidental and are not coincidental. No, very few things are coincidental. This is something that was intended. That the day that this was approved and the owners got the votes, the Celtics new owners got the votes to approve the sale of the team... Shams goes to the media and says, yep, they're going to have to cut costs because it's $500 million and they just had to liquidate this sale. They don't have the money for it.
But but there could be a happy medium where they lower expectations to rock bottom, brace for massive change, and then it's just slight change and they look like the good guys because they only traded Porzingis or something like that.
But
you know?
So let's just say going forward for 4 years, they get the Southern Methodist death penalty. Where they get no draft picks, no mid-level exceptions, and they can't make any trades. Mm-hmm. Okay? So let's just work with me here.
Static roster.
Static roster for 4 years.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah. Except $500 million pay or what? I don't know. What
right,
is the tax?
But the pain is to the owners, not
right.
the fans.
Right.
And yet the owners are telling you that they're doing this for the fans. It's just so they don't have to spend money.
Yeah. Well, change is the common theme here, Curtis. That's the Dino... topic today. Change on the horizon for the Celtics, as foreshadowed by Wick. We'll play that sound on the Pat McAfee show from Shams this week. And change for the Red Sox at first base coming, it appears. Significant is what Cora described the injury to Tristan Cassis last night. Join us 617-779-7937. Time now to trend.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Here's Jacob Lasner. Quick prospect on the Greg Hill Show in March, and then this past week, Shams Charania reigniting the alarm on the day the sale was finalized, as Curtis points out. Can occur to show here on EEI. So why is this stuff coming out? I mean, obviously there are some changes coming, but also, do you think the Celtics are using this to try to light a fire with the team or with the fan base, as now we finally get close to a series, Curtis, that will really matter? I mean, Knicks, Celtics, you'll be good. You have some inherent city rivalry there, but
there's an important thing that Wick said at the start of that to clarify. The league didn't implement it. The owners did. Wick and his friends did. This is something that owners of sports teams do. It's a cute thing where they bemoan things that they put in place to preclude players getting more money. Just like Jeremy Jacobs locked the league out to get a hard cap. I'm not going to listen to his son brag about spending to it because they created it. Like, Wick is a very good guy. I think he's done a great job, and he's doing his job here. But explain to me why a fan should care about being unable to do a mid-level exception, having first-round picks 7 years out, frozen in trade talks. The limitations make it harder to sign quality free agents. I don't want another free agent. I just want this team. And right. I think every Celtics fan would agree. Would you rather trade Jaylen so that you can then acquire a guy in a mid-level exception?
I guess the only thing would be, what if Horford leaves or retires or something like that, and then you need somebody.
But if people applied logic and didn't lick boots, there would not be a single person who would disagree with me. Yeah. What? Tell me the reason you would agree that you should not go into the second apron to keep a best team in basketball together.
Well, no, that's why I'm trying to figure out, is there another level to this? Like, maybe they're actually not going to make changes, but this is just being done.
Okay, let's just take them at their word. Why would anyone accept this?
I don't think the fans will be very happy. The only thing they'll accept, the only reason why, would be that we've won one and maybe two, and that pacifies them.
And that sound, is it collusive? Can something be collusive? It sounds like collusion that you're saying, we're not going to do it and no team will. Like, so you've talked to other owners to pressure them into not going to the second apron?
We should start a rival league, like the XFL.
XBA.
Take on this monopoly.
XBA, I'm in.
It's been good. I heard you admit you've even liked watching the NBA product.
Oh, my God. I was driving and I was listening across the street, and former Kendra, the girl that one mm-hmm. of the girls that tried out for the Greg Hill show, was saying how if you like the NBA playoffs more than hockey, you're crazy. The NBA playoffs have been awful. The NBA playoffs have been spectacular.
We have two game sevens in each. Which one, if you could pick, would you go to for the game seven this weekend?
Game seven, I'd go
Clippers
to.
Clippers, the Nuggets in Denver.
Yeah.
Mile Houston high. And Golden State in Houston.
I would go
Winnipeg
Houston.
And Monty. Monty trying to take out the Jets in Winnipeg tomorrow with a whiteout.
Yeah. Well, hockey's already a whiteout.
Yeah.
I would probably go Ime versus Steph Curry.
Yeah, I would too. That's going to be a party in Houston. Ime looks good. They look like they've got Steph on the ropes.
Oh, I mean, Missoula's the best coach in basketball, so you can't argue that.
Anyway, a lot of changes coming. Big picture, though. So you think they're just going to take it on the chin? They're trying to brace people, and it's just going to happen. There's no conspiracy here. The Celtics are just getting ready to unload in the offseason, and
so
this is it.
Like, using your logic, they're softening for a blow. Like, this is the time where, you know, it's supposed to be in the first 100 days of an administration, things get done, and things are relatively easy. Not the case.
Don't try to bait me into that.
No, but I'm just expressing that, like, this, if you're going to get something done with the fans, mm-hmm. the time to be like, when John Henry bought the Red Sox, it was about, we're going to invest in the team. We're going to championship. Even if you don't intend to, it's the time to say, we want to win championships, because you're introducing yourself to a fan base.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're saying this now would make it impossible to believe that they won't do it in the end. And if they don't do it, it will be because fans express their outrage that they won't tolerate it.
Do you think winning or not winning the title matters at
all? No. Because either way, you can't sell it. If you win it, you're back-to-back. You want to get a three-peat. You're on the pursuit of a truly dynastic run. Or you lose in the finals in Game 7 to the Warriors.
I think that's worse.
And you get rid of players. But either way, it's like...
But also,
you just signed Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum to historic multi-year deals.
Yeah.
So you have those guys who are 27 and 26 respectively in their prime coming off a championship. There is nothing that you could do to explain to me or anybody that follows this team that would say that being in the second apron is worse than retaining Jaylen Brown.
Well, I think they're going to keep Brown and Tatum. I mean,
I don't know.
You think maybe not. Here's what Shamshed said. Here's the clip from the Pat McAfee show that got
on. Right now, Boston is fully focused on winning a championship. Like, that is the number one focus, repeating. But I can tell you, the rest of the league is bracing for some level of change to come to the Celtics from their roster this offseason. And, you know, sources have been telling me for weeks now that the Celtics will be exploring trade options in the offseason. This team, this iteration just is not going to be sustainable for this team. And no one around the organization, from players to staffers, would be surprised if there are changes coming to this roster.
It's kind of Wick throws Brad Stevens in the mix in that clip from March, which is kind of dirty. Like, it's on Brad. Your GM has to be brilliant.
No, he's saying it's on Brad that we're going to tell him we have to shred payroll, make the team as good.
Right, but he's putting all the pressure on him. That's his fall guy. It's like,
no,
Brad's going to find a way out of this. If not, we're not going to win.
Right, because winning as they are is too expensive. That's it. I mean, I know it's a hard roundabout thing.
He didn't say that. He said basketball penalties, not financial.
Right. I mean, like, I was born on a Tuesday, not last Tuesday.
Who's on first?
Like, I mean, give me a break. Like, and with all due respect, never mind. But yeah, I mean, I think this is a, if this were the Red Sox, if this were any organization other than the Celtics, there would be mass chaos in the streets.
It does, though, for me, as like just a fan, raise the level of interest in this season's run. Now, and I think that is part of it from Shams. He's trying to drum up some drama here for the Celtics, which really has been none, because, as you said, easy roll over the Magic, fairly easy. Now you're watching them closely because you know this is the last chance you're going to see this group in its current iteration. That's good for the team. That's good for the NBA coverage. There's just some added intrigue there.
But I want a fan to say that they will support this decision to avoid the second apron, because who the hell cares about this mid-level exception? Who cares about trading future draft picks?
Mitch, what's the ramifications of the mid-level exception? Do you have a breakdown in there of who they can't sign if this comes to pass? What are the basketball penalties, ramifications? This is why we brought Mitch in. Go ahead.
So it's nobody really understands the whole apron thing. However, everyone knows that like 2 years ago in the summer of 2025, there was going to be an issue. I think you can always get a mid-level exception guy every summer, but I feel like if I had to pick two guys, I think it might be Hauser and Holiday.
Well, Hauser's going to be gone. I mean, that's a fait accompli. They're not keeping Sam Hauser. Yeah, you can't keep the fringe guys.
To me, and I love Mitchie, but you're not prepping the fan base for this, and you only lose Holiday and Hauser.
Correct. There's something bigger here. All right, let us know. Changes. What's coming with the Celtics? What's coming with Casas? I have a list of all the options here that they could put in at first base for Casas. Look at that. There's like 15 of them.
What do we think about Jack Clark?
I'll tell you who I like. That I'm intrigued by. I have Bradford digging on this. Anthony Rizzo, unsigned, 36, full circle, original Sox draft pick. Bring him back.
My favorite athlete as a child was a first baseman.
Crime dog?
Not Fred McGriff. The hit dog? Mo Vaughn.
Mo Vaughn. I forgot. You met him, right?
Yeah. Had lunch at La Scala in Randolph. You ever been to La Scala, Mitch?
Thank you, Mitch.
Okay.
Mitch is learning the board. He's a Twitch guy.
He's a video guy, so this is the first time going on the audio side.
Have you ever been to La Scala in Randolph?
I have not.
Oh, good. Good Italian spot right up 128.
I think Mitch has been good so far.
I agree.
Let's go to Charlie in Boston. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, guys. Love your show in the morning. It's my favorite part of Saturday. But I don't think that ownership can't get rid of Jaylen Brown. Like, it would be an absolute mutiny from the fans. He means way too much to the team, but also just like the city in general, like the things he's doing in the city, like you can't get rid of Jaylen Brown. But in terms of like the other guys, like I'm just hoping and praying that, you know, this is all just like rumors and they hold on to everybody and pull, you know, a Wolf of Wall Street, we ain't leaving, like, you know, and just get the fan base riled up, but who knows?
But there is that, don't you agree, Charlie? That's probably, I mean, Windhorst was speculating that that's what they're going to do if this continues, right? That they would shed his $53 million and then they're good. They can keep the rest.
I don't care. I hate it. It would be too much of a blow to, like, I just wouldn't even want to watch the C's. Like, you can't, that would be a huge breakup. Like, you just can't break up the Jays. Like, that's who the Celtics are, is the Jays.
I guess, but can you win with just the Jays? Can you win with a big two?
If they're shooting Jays.
Yeah. Supporting two Supermax contracts seems tough. I know what you're saying. They should be able to handle it. But that just seems like it's not possible.
Why?
I mean, just you can better surround one, like Tatum, with other guys who are like B-plus levels rather than two guys that are making league maximum $50-plus million. I don't know. To Mitch's point, I don't know all the financial ramifications. But that it seems like they're going to trade Jaylen Brown to me.
Right.
Just my guess.
That's
Marcus Smart's always available, too. So.
Well, bring him back.
Love it. I wonder if I could take Marcus Smart to La Scala.
So what do you think if they trade Jaylen? What's the reaction?
People are pissed. But only when they do it. Like, in the build-up is the time, if you're a fan of the team, to make your displeasure known, to express openly how absurd this is. And it is, you have just experienced what life would be like. I was trying to warn you 5 years ago when you wouldn't give Brady two at 50.
When Brady threw that pick?
And I said, get used to tumbleweeds at Patriot Place. I said it on the radio. I was on the air
They made the playoffs the next season.
I was on the air live.
And you picked them to beat the Bills.
I was on the air.
You picked Mac Jones to beat the Bills.
Yes, I was. Okay, so this makes me even better to hear.
You did a celebration when Mayo won his first game against Cincinnati.
You ever see the American president when Michael J. Fox is going after Andrew Shepard, the president, about Bob Rumson and how Bob Rumson is leading America because he's out there speaking and Michael J. Fox is admonishing the president, the sitting president, to go after his rival who's winning the back pages and dominating the news. And Andrew Shepard said, when you get into the desert, you're so thirsty for water, you think it's there.
But it's a legitimate success. There was a moment of excitement there.
No, I was so hopeful that what we were watching was real, but it was not an oasis. It was a mirage. And where we are today, I warned you. I said, you have this once in your lifetime if you are the luckiest fan in the world. The luck required to be born when I was born here at the time Tom Brady came of age is literally miraculous. It's impossible. You can't even quantify the odds of it.
So, it's a long shot that Drake May and this first-round pick and this draft class are going to both hit, right? That would also be amazing.
Right. But just to go on this point specifically, you know this is a championship team now. You just watched it. Back to the Celtics. Right.
Yes.
You do nothing to interrupt this if the only measures you can't tolerate are punitive financially. Because in hindsight, is there a single person within the sound of our voice that after 2019 would say, yes, it was right to say goodbye to Tom? No. And it's okay. People make mistakes. But where you were, you're never going to be again. The Celtics in the 90s.
Well, nobody's ever going to be there.
But what I'm saying is the Celtics in the 90s sucked. The Celtics, when Doc first arrived, unwatchable. You have this team now.
That's why it's compelling in Celtic City to watch the failures to repeat for the KG Celtics. That's a really good, I think that hits home with what we're seeing with this current iteration. Like, man, they had it. It was close. If not for the injury to Perk, if not for the X, Y, and Z.
But look at LeBron James, right? A guy that's been in the NBA since he became an adult. He's 40, and he's still one of the better players in the sport. Yeah. So if you say goodbye to Jaylen Brown, he could be dominating the, you know, or a key cog in a team that you're competing against for a decade.
What do you think the Celtics will do? 617-779-7937. And how about the Red Sox? Can I get a Cassis caller in?
Yes.
Let's go to John in Dighton. What should the Red Sox do at first, John?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
All right, cool. First of all, Ken, I got to tell you, Curtis, congratulations on your sobriety. You've become my favorite radio guy on any show, and I think you deserve your show at some point during the week. Ken, it'd be the smartest move you ever did. He's the smartest guy on the radio. And I'm not calling just to kiss your butt. But here's,
but please, I actually love it. It's been great so far, so thank you.
Surprisingly, he likes it. Good.
There you go. The Red Sox, as far as they have the pieces in their system right now, you are not going to bring Anthony or Meyer or Marcelo up unless they're going to play on a regular basis. Here's how you do it. Rafaela, I've seen enough. I think he's Jackie Bradley Jr. I'm sorry. He's a good player. Got a lot of tools.
Nice bunt last night. Nice sack bunt from my guy last night.
I thought you said he had a nice butt last night.
Jeez. Go ahead, John. Sorry.
I get it. But you could get something for him, or you move him and David Hamilton on the spot. But in my eyes, you bring up Marcelo Meyer right now, 34 RBI. He's got 7 jacks. Bring him up. Play him at first base. Okay? And put Anthony in left field and Duran in center field. Call it a day. Wow. Done. You don't have to move Devers. You don't have to do anything. It's perfect. It's simple. And you get both of those guys up. They're top 10 prospects in baseball. They need to play now. They're ready.
Yeah, okay. John, I like the call. Most of the call. Second half was very good.
All right. First half, spot on.
So here's the thing, though, with that. And by the way, that's the Bradford wish. Bradford wants Marcelo Meyer. He does not want Roman Anthony. He thinks Meyer's an infielder. Just makes more sense. They're both lefties. You go with Meyer, the guy who's more natural to the position, and you call it a day there. But Roman Anthony seems more big league ready to me than Meyer does, right? It's pretty close, I guess.
And I'm not saying this is why Rob's saying it, but you, as a baseball guy, you can't say Roman Anthony.
Why?
The lose of the world, who I love, poo-poo it. What are you talking about? He's not going to play first. Shut up. He's not a first baseman.
But you know what Bradford thinks they will do?
Bring in John Olerud.
No. Nick Sogard is who he thinks they will call up. Switch hitter.
Okay. Sounds like a guy in competition for the Masters.
Okay, so here are the options. I wrote all these down. Romy. Connor Wong.
Romy Roman?
Raph Snyder. No, Romy Gonzalez.
Oh, right.
My homie.
Right. I thought you were talking about Succession.
Ref Snyder, who hasn't played since 2020. Carlos Narvaez, who played in AAA with the Yankees last year at first.
I watched some of that in Tampa. He looked good.
You scout.
Yep.
Vaughn Grissom, who's played 4 games there this year.
What a trade. Great player. What an acquisition.
Right-handed stick, though.
What do you think of the Vaughn Grissom trade?
Yeah, maybe this is when it's ready to bloom and blossom, right in May, my favorite month of the year. What if Vaughn Grissom comes up and just takes off? Nathan Hickey. Abraham Toro, who's hitting .310, former big leaguer.
Yeah, otherwise known as Santa with the cummerbund.
Yasmani Grandal, catcher, you bring him in, and then you move Connor Wong to first. Or Devers, or Anthony, or Meyer. Or last year they brought
in... Was it in between Maya or Yasmani?
It was.
Good choice.
Dom Smith, who they traded for last year.
Dom. He's Dom DiMaggio, the better DiMaggio.
You trade with the Yankees to get Dom back here.
Right.
He's hitting like .210, though. And Bradfo tells me there's a guy with the Syracuse Mets who's this year's Dom Smith, John Singleton, who's like ready to break through. He's having a great year in the minors.
Do the Syracuse Mets have 72 play-by-play guys?
I'm sure they do. And we hired a few Syracuse guys, you know. Cooper Boardman, the latest. Anthony Rizzo, though, is pretty interesting to me. That sounds like you get the Yankees back by getting Rizzo.
Anthony Rizzo, the old Cub?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's unsigned. He wants money, so just pay him money.
Okay. Great. Works to me.
All right, we'll take your calls in the 617-779-7937. The changes to the Celtics, changes to the Sox. Also wants your reaction to what I thought was the sneaky, most interesting report of the week. It's not a person you like that it's coming from. You may poo-poo the source, but I want your reaction to it, and I want it next.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hey, baby. Coming down, Gillette, AC/DC.
Yep.
Bang. Last time. It's got kind of sad, actually.
The only time I can't I hear anything. Am I okay? Does that sound
yeah,
normal?
You sound good.
Okay. The only time in my life I saw AC/DC was at the end of Private Parts.
Well, you can relive that great moment.
Yep.
And many more tomorrow. Sold out, but I know you'll find a way in.
Yeah.
You'll get there.
I love it. I'm going to be at Splitsville, and then I'm going to go to Red Robin, and then I'm going to go to the show.
Quickly, how did you like our start to the Great Hill Road Show on Thursday and Friday out in Springfield?
Thursday night was awesome in that last year it was this mob scene when we were in Springfield because of the game one of the NBA Finals. And this year it was crowded, but there wasn't, you know, it was really, you were all there watching a game. You weren't meeting with people. And it's so fascinating the ways in which people take the show in, consume it, and what stands out to them. And it was really like 2 hours. We were just talking to people nonstop. Great, great turnout. And it's amazing how it's just sort of dumb luck. The show just, I mean, not dumb, the people that put it together, but it's just the personalities and the content of the show. I said multiple times, the ingredients are the same every day, but somehow the dish is different. And it's an enjoyable, the show's at a great place. It was a great time.
Did you talk second apron with anybody in the crowd?
I did. I actually asked the woman with the second apron to stop making me pay for Diet Cokes.
I bought you a Diet Coke.
I know. Why do we have to pay for a Diet Coke? It's just, whatever. Who cares? Not my problem. But either way, that was fun, and then I liked the location, the Swing Max's.
Max's Swing Lodge, excellent, right in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
I liked that, and much more intimate gathering. And
how'd you do on the simulator there with Pebble Beach?
Not great.
Yeah.
No,
neither did I.
I didn't. It's tough to just do that, you know, without playing beforehand. But either way, it was I think one for one on the road show season.
Calls on Celtics Casas in a minute, but here's my teats. Biggest sneaky report of the week, Greg Bedard. You cited it yesterday, but this is unbelievable. The character assassination about Joe Milton is starting. Maybe it's already started. According to Bedard, not a good dude, Joe Milton, from somebody directly in the organization. Somebody in the organization. Direct quote, not a good dude. It's just, what is happening here? This is beneath the organization. To clear the deck for Drake after 1 year, they don't have a backup quarterback. And they've acquiesced to the Drake May family, gotten rid of this guy. Now they're having people talk to Bedard about what a bad guy Joe Milton was.
Well, taking Bedard out of it, because I don't believe he has any sources whatsoever, the organization looks petty, if this is in any way accurate. What the hell? I mean,
it's
even
unsettling.
Drake,
it's troubling
even Drake
about
May,
Drake. Yes.
When he made those comments about that he's going to be has a chance to be a backup in Dallas.
Right. Like, yeah, he said that was his last answer of the press conference, and he also walked off after it. Not like in an angry fashion, but just the fact that he ended the presser after it got to that point leads me to believe he's uncomfortable with it. And yes, you're right. He called him a backup.
I mean, it's just, if you're a great player, who cares? And this is, I saw you highlighted a 603 text.
Yes, I did.
Tell Curtis I did not need to go, English, to therapy when Brady left. He sucked his last year in New England, and we would probably be in the same position as we are now, minus a mediocre 2020 with Brady. Curtis needs to speak with someone professionally about his Brady psychosis. Okay, 603.
Right on the money. A couple words out of place, but
one of the dumber things I've ever read. If you have Tom Brady and you don't have No, if you keep Tom Brady and you add on offense like the Bucs did, you win another Super Bowl, you absolute moron. Tom Brady in 2021, 2 years removed from time here, was the MVP of the NFL, finished second, 40-plus touchdown passes. Tom Brady threw more touchdown passes in 3 years than you have in 5 years here after he left. You left wins on the table. You brought in Cam Newton and Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi and Ryan Hoyer. It's okay to say you were wrong. It's one of the dumber decisions in the history of Boston, not just sports.
I don't even want to relitigate it. I don't want to go down that road, but I like the fact
and
that...
And by the way, I am loving Bill Belichick being exposed on the national stage for the fraud he is.
This is going to light a fire under Bill. He's going to have a good season.
Just
now.
A bumbling idiot
now,
in the
this,
end.
He's going to turn the corner
a man
on this.
Who, till his dying day, will prioritize loyalty over ability.
ACC title coming for Billy.
It's never been about winning. It's been about power. And for him to say in that book that he brought the organization from $500 million to $8 billion after years and years of telling all of us, it's about the players.
It was shocking to see on UNC letterhead him responding to media reports. And
getting dragged around by a cheerleader.
I want to get your reaction to Ted Johnson's.
It has just been one of the great weeks. What a great week.
Not good, but still there's awesome. Light at the end of the tunnel.
God, I love it.
Let's go back to the second apron. Dan in the car has a Celtics plan for the offseason when we get there. I hope. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Hey, guys. Love the show. I wanted to call. I want to take an objective view on the second apron talk because you guys keep saying they need to get under or stay under the second apron. But what do they need to do to actually get under the second apron? How much cap space do they have to clear? If it's a matter of just dropping a guy like Holiday and Hauser, then isn't that the answer? I don't know what the money value is or how much it's going to take. But if it's as simple as drop those two guys, you still have a championship quality team. So I wanted to hear from you guys. Do you know the number to actually stay below or get below the second apron? And do those two guys' contracts fit that number?
Good question, Dan. Mitch, do you have the answer to this? We may need to text Terp on the actual dollar figure to get under the second apron. Will that get it done? Holiday and Hauser? Look that up.
I heard all three. So if you get Horford, Holiday, and Hauser, I think you get under the second apron or get rid of Jaylen Brown or Porzingis and Drew Holiday or Derek White. So any three of those combinations.
But not two. Hauser and Holiday won't do
it. No, but I'm saying I think those two would be the first two.
That would be the first
that
two.
That wouldn't get us under the second apron.
Drew Holiday was sneaky essential to their title last year, Curtis. Don't you agree? I mean, Porzingis was kind of a non-factor last year. It was Holiday who was the secret sauce. That's why we praised Brad so much.
I agree. I don't think, but it doesn't, to me, it doesn't matter. It's not punitive enough. If you want to say that they have to get rid of those guys so that they keep the mid-level exception and bring somebody else in and you keep the core of Tatum and Brown together, then that's fine.
Let's go to Tim and Lowell over to Cassis. Hello, Tim.
Hey, morning, guys.
Morning, Tim.
You know, the thing that's sad about that last night, and I have been a strong advocate that they should have removed him from the roster. I should have traded him last year, but Breslow blew that deal. But the thing that was sad about that incident last night, when his leg collapsed and he fell, you know, in football, when a play gets carted off, all the teammates come out, touch him on the, tap him on the leg, the shoulder, wish him good luck. Not one member of that Red Sox team came out.
Yeah.
To see the Twins players seemed like they were more concerned than the Red Sox players. Now, I suspect that he was not a popular guy in that clubhouse. But, I mean, it's such a thing as showing a little humanity, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and that
point,
was terrible
Tim.
What they did him. Like, but Breslow should have traded him a year ago for Guerrero. He blew it. Same way he blew the Chris Sale trade. They got a minor league guy. You know, maybe he'll get called up and show something. But Breslow blew that. They should have had Guerrero right now at first, and they would be a powerhouse in that league, guys.
What would you do now, Tim? Who goes the first?
Well, you know, the Don Smith thing ish me a little bit, and I think he's free agent because he's in the minor leagues. I may be wrong.
Yeah,
I thought he played pretty well for them last year.
Yeah, but unfortunately, he's hitting like 208 or something right now. But yeah,
yeah, I know he. I know he's even 210 or something. He's not hitting well. I'm not really sure what they should do. I mean, I thought they should have tried Devizet for his base. What do you got to lose?
Right. I see. I get how sensitive that was, and Cora was against it, but you look dumb right now, Curtis. You have no plan. Oh. The likelihood of Casas getting injured was high, or at least significant. They have no backup first base plan in the organization. How's that happen?
I have no idea. But I don't, I'm not telling you what's right or wrong. I do not envision them in any way moving Devers to first base.
Just afraid of him at this point?
Right. He's hitting. Why mess with it? That's what would be their point of view, I think.
Well, it's on him. I would say it's on the, if I'm Cora, I would want Devers to approach me about it as a leader, as a big money guy, and take ownership and say, I want it. Because you're right. He probably won't go to him and
so
ask.
So if he's not at first base today taking grounders pregame, then you agree with me he's not doing it.
Correct.
Okay.
It's got to be today. And he takes rounders every game at right. third. So just slide him over.
Get that fungo.
Get him over there. Now, I do want to, in addition to the Ted Johnson take of the week, how about Cora and his explanation for why the lengthy one yesterday pregame about why he pitched to Vlad Guerrero?
Yeah. You got to own some.
He owned it. He had a long explanation he was very proud of.
I don't care about the explanation.
He almost sold me. Maybe he did sell me. Will he sell Curtis? That's next.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.